broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right, happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman and Kirk Crosby live on your radio. Hard-hitting news the network refused to use continues now. This is indeed the broadcast for July 27th in the year of our Lord, 2016, hour 2 at 2. The goal always to protect life, liberty, and property and promote God, family, and country on your radio and the traditions of our founding fathers. The Constitution, the blueprint for liberty. The checks and balances are what we use to restore the greatest country on the face of the earth. We don't need a revolution, but a restoration certainly is in order. All right, we were talking last hour about this huge issue about slavery. And I made the point that, hey, we're all slaves to the IRS. When are they going to reject the IRS and put that sucker to the back of the bus? Because Breitbart and this gay follower of Trump, Milo Yiannopoulos, are in a big old battle. James Edwards, the host of the Political Cesspool syndicated by Liberty News Radio, our good friend, interviewed Milo at the Republican convention last week. We were there live as well with a bunch of incredible interviews. But David Duke kind of hints as he runs for office for Senate in the state of Louisiana that, A, Trump might be backing him. Trump disavows David Duke. Michelle Obama said in her primetime address to the Democratic National Convention on primetime television, the slaves built the White House. I brought up, did she forget to mention that the first slave owner in America was a black man? Yeah. So there the battle lines are drawn. Well, Pete wants to chime in. He thinks that the IRS doesn't make us slaves. Pete, you're up.
I don't think the IRS makes us slaves. I think Franklin Delano Roosevelt made us slaves, and I can prove it. And I think people can understand the fact that there are acts that were made by Congress, and these acts pretty much enslaved us when they took all the gold and silver out of circulation. You can't use it.
Depends on where you are in the state of Utah. Gold and silver is legal tender, sir.
Well,
you still there, Pete?
He's a little quiet. Sam.
I don't know what happened to Pete. Anyway, I don't deny that there's several different areas you can point to that have enslaved the American people, Kurt. I don't deny that at all. I guess I'm just saying
the
environment's target rich, right?
Yeah.
That's
the point.
Is it going to fake money that made us slaves? Or is it when we had the Civil War rejecting states' rights that made us slaves? What do you say, Kurt?
Well, it's true. I mean, you know, does the EPA make somebody a slave when they go take their property and tell them they can't do something on it because there's a little bit of water there? I mean, there's just a long list of it. Typically, it's just when you got out of control government, that's a bunch of slavery.
You back, Pete?
Yes.
Go ahead, sir. Finish up.
Well, I just wanted to say that the it's not just one thing. You know, it's not just one of these things where you can call the IRS was around before the Federal Reserve. I mean, the national state of emergency really did a number on us, and then the International Organizational Immunities Act did a number on us, and then the Social Security Act of 1935, which I think everybody should just read that act. And the reason I say that is because I'm sure that people are not aware that the government, or their state government, receives $1 million for every live birth. So every time there's a baby born in Utah, the state of Utah collects $1 million.
Well, we're getting rich because a lot of people are making babies in Utah, buddy.
Hey, you know what? That's a great thing. I wanted to ask you a question, Sam. I was just wondering if you noticed that I was watching the Democratic convention, and I put it on for a rip-roaring 5 minutes, and I never saw an American flag in there.
No, they didn't have anybody.
What's wrong with those?
I did notice it. They didn't have any at all.
They're communists, man.
Well, I agree. So here's the next question, then. Is communism making us slaves? Is it the IRS? Is it the birth or creation of the Federal Reserve? Is it the Civil War? When, we lost a ton of states' rights. I mean, you can go on and on and on and point to a gazillion realities, and I think you're right in doing so. However, I would say this, though. I pointed to a modern example that you have to deal with every single year when you file your taxes, that pretty much under threat, they, you know, hook you with this penalty of perjury thing. Under threat, are you forced to pay and work, I don't know, 5 months out of the year or whatever, just to pay the piper so that Congress can spend belligerently? I just used a modern example that's currently ongoing. But your point is well taken, that there are plenty of areas in which we could make discussions. The problem is, the further back you go, the less educated the American person is about it.
Yeah, well, you know, I think the American people at this point, at this juncture in time, are looking. I mean, they're looking for the knowledge now because they know something's up. I mean, nothing feels right anymore. You have homosexuals getting married, guys going to the bathroom. In the women's bathroom, with people shooting down cops. This Black Lives Matter deal, that's total dribble. Those guys are funded, too. Did you ever see the list of the people that back those people? They're all communists.
Oh, yeah, it's out of control. Mm-hmm. But we got a guest. Let's let him chime in on it. Thank you, sir.
Hey, thanks a lot, Sam.
Tom DeWeese, American Policy Center. Welcome back to Liberty Roundtable, sir.
Thank you much.
So we had a big debate, just so you know, about slavery last hour. And I talked to a lady at the Republican National Convention last week. She was a Black lady, just a wonderful person. Her name is Tracy. She understands the principles very well. And she made the statement, and I want to get your take on the statement. She said, look, if you are white, you're a racist. And if you're black, you're a sellout if you stand for the principles. That's how they roll. It isn't true, but that's their narrative. And we're here to blow their false narrative up, Tom.
Yeah, absolutely. That's what they're teaching in the school and college courses, that all white people are racist, and racism is based on power over other people, and no minorities have power over anybody else, just white people. I mean, that's what they teach.
Yeah, but hold on a minute now. The black man is able to say pretty much whatever he wants to, and the white man's not. Who's the downtrodden now?
Well, it's, reverse discrimination is what.
What do you think about Michelle Obama basically speaking on primetime television to the DNC and saying, you know, every morning I wake up in the White House knowing that it was built by slaves?
I would say that she needs to comfort herself by getting out of the White House.
Amen to that. Now, the problem is, I have a problem with him even calling it the White House, though. You know, think about that. You know, why would we call that thing the White House, you know, built by slaves?
Yeah, they've bathed it in all kinds of rainbow colors and so forth, kind of thing.
Do you know that the first slave owner in America was a black person, though?
Yeah, I do. I do know that.
So what about that? Did she forget to mention that piece? And then what about Barack Obama? He's half white. So is it his half white privilege that got him there?
Yeah, they conveniently forget all these things. And, of course, they are saying, you know, that Hillary is the first woman to be nominated for president. They forget about Victoria Woodhull, who is from my home state of Ohio, who was a major advocate for women's rights back in, 1879. She was nominated to run for president of a minority party. They just lie and lie and lie to be convenient for their narrative. Here's what I think about all this. Rancher Wayne Hage, that lost his ranch, his property to the federal government. He said, "If you don't have the right to own and control property, you are property." And this is what's coming down on us today.
Unfortunately, you're correct.
Yep.
As could possibly be. Now, as far as I understand, Tom, you wrote and just released your latest book.
I did.
Erase.
Yes. Erase is it's a novel. It's fiction. It is a political thriller, and it's set in a sustainable country where the United States, where everything, all these things are in place, and there is an educator. And a ranch, and a political activist, a preacher, and a businessman, and they're all searching to find an answer as to who's behind all these programs. And people keep dying every time they find the answer.
There's not even a racist in there?
Not even a racist in there. No?
Whoa. Man, how would a racist write a book without a racist in it? Come on.
I know.
See, it just goes to show that their narrative, and I made this point last hour and I want to make it again, their narrative is to divide and conquer over everything. To make mountains out of molehills, to make everything just convoluted and controversial and conflicting and deceptive, because then they don't have to talk about the real issues.
Yeah. Well, everything in the book is actually happening. I had to hurry up and finish it before the entire plot came out on the front page of the New York Times.
Wow, let's talk about the book. It's Erase. It's available now. Ask for it by name. Erase, written by Tom DeWeese, president of AmericanPolicy.org, and our guest on Liberty Roundtable Live.
If you're at all like me, you have a tough time remembering appointments and events. But ladies and gentlemen, I have the answer. It's a premier service on the internet called Memo to Me. It's free. You ought to try it. Now I never miss the honeydew items from my wife or the important business meetings. They have strict privacy protection. That means they will release your email address to no one ever. You will not get spam because of Memo to Me. Unmatched dependability. Ladies and gentlemen, these folks have been around since 1998 and they are absolutely up online all the time to send you your reminders and appointments. They have rock-solid reliability. They have 5 redundant internet connections, diesel-powered generators backing up the system. I'm telling you, Memo to Me is the premier reminder service on the internet. It's free. You ought to give it a try. And, oh, by the way, if you're not available at your computer to get your email reminders, they can even send a reminder to your cell phone or pager. I use MemoToMe.com daily and highly recommend it to you. MemoToMe.com. Memo to Me.
From the days of the Romans, there have been legends of a fountain of youth, and now science has found a real answer to slowing the aging process. I'm Joyce Riley from the Power Hour, and it's so exciting to know that Time Challenger has capitalized on decades worth of international scientific studies to bring you the most powerful mitochondrial DNA supplement on the market today. Mitochondrial DNA is the power plant of human cells, but as we age, we lose more and more of this precious material. Time Challenger promotes healing and gives cells the power to do their work. Mental cognition may be enhanced, skin refreshed, blood pressure normalized, and signs of aging might be reduced. Time Challenger can also provide enhanced recovery for athletes. Time Challenger, the first step to slow the effects of aging on your body. To learn more, call 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829, or visit thepowermall.com. Time Challenger just might be your fountain of youth.
We fought, we learned, we struggled,
we won.
Despite Obama's best efforts, the newspaper of the human resistance survives. We have lived only to face a new nightmare, the war against the machines. Read about our struggle in The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The Sovereign is a 24-page monthly tabloid newspaper about the war between man and machines. We've tried reason, we've tried legislation. We've tried every peaceful means imaginable, and all it's gotten us is shut out. So now we fight the machines. Order online today at thesovnews.com or find The Sovereign at select newsstands. Remember to read The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The human resistance's battle against the machines will be everlasting. This is mercy. It was never our destiny to stop the age of Obama. It was merely to survive it. Together.
Promoting God, family, and country. You are listening to Liberty Roundtable Radio.
Tom DeWeese, riding shotgun, and our guest today, AmericanPolicy.org. Get a hold of the Sledgehammer Alert. Sign up. It'll be in your inbox free and keep you up to speed on what's happening. Incredible videos rejecting Agenda 21, now called Agenda 2030, standing up for liberty everywhere. It all comes down to property rights. It all comes down to how powerful and belligerent and out of control government is. They've created a secret combination to get above the people and deny them property rights. And if you don't own property and have absolute control of that property, based on property ownership, you become property. You become virtually a slave. So now we can debate Pete saying, oh man, it's the Federal Reserve that made us all slaves. And I could say, well, it's the IRS that's making us slaves today. And Tom could come back and say, hey, you're all going to be slaves if you don't get a handle on property rights. And every one of us would be correct. by the way. The new book from Tom DeWeese is called Erase. The new political thriller by Tom DeWeese, it's fiction, but it actually deals with truth. And so what you've got is you've got fiction so that you can tell a story. You got fiction so that you can place characters where they need to be. But you got facts in terms of the details unfolding in the book. Erase is a searing glimpse into the near future of an America being destroyed from within. A teacher, a businessman, a preacher, a political activist, and a homeless man all are on a quest to find the frightening truth. They learn the frightening truth about what's happening. A secret, powerful force designed to destroy America. Can they stop it before it's too late is the question. To preserve freedom, ladies and gentlemen, is the duty of every American. To learn and understand the dangers we face. Anyway, through the entertainment of a classic fictional thriller, Erase will teach you how we can take America back. That's kind of the bottom line. Tom's been fighting this for 20 plus years. He's finally realized that if you want to let Americans understand something, put it into a fictional story. What do they call that? What's the word for that when they have fiction that's full of facts?
It's historic fiction, I guess.
Yeah, but no, there's a word for that, Kurt. You remember what that word is?
Yeah.
It's like a fictional documentary.
Yeah.
All right.
And you tell a real story. You tell the facts of a story. You have all the details in the story correct. There's usually a lot of times show notes at the end of the chapters telling what's factual. But then you put it in the plot of a fictional situation so that you can
be historical.
Historical fiction. That's exactly right.
Yeah.
Okay, so we're talking about historical fiction, not from a yesteryear historical point of view, although it's part that, but we're talking about yesterday, today, and tomorrow in your fictional reality, right?
Absolutely. I mean, every single thing in this book is actually happening. Every time I came up with something, we thought, well, this would be a clever way to go after this. We'd find out it's already happening. And there's several scenes in it that are real scenes and dialogue in it that are real things that have been said. Something of interest to you, Sam, you and I have a mutual friend who will be very interested in reading this book.
We've got lots of mutual friends, by the way.
Well, by the way, one of the heroes of the book, his name is Mac Richards.
There you go. And Mac Richards is in the book now, huh?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. He's one of the main characters in the book.
All right. Here's what I need you to do. I need you to email me a PDF of the book, if you will. I will not give it to anybody, but it's the only way I can read it.
Yeah, sure.
But I'm ready to read this, and then I won't give it to anybody. But an incredible opportunity, ladies and gentlemen, to basically understand that Agenda 21 is destroying America. Whether you call it Agenda 21, whether you call it sustainable development, whether you call it Agenda 2030, no matter what buzzwords you use, it remains the same. And the reality is it's a communist plot to steal everybody's property rights and do it under the guise of a gazillion factors. Yep. But primarily this idea that, you know what, humanoids are ruining the planet. Environmentally, you got to stop them and ratchet them down. The people believe the lie because they believe this environmental hogwash. But the reality is it's nothing but a control mechanism to shut us down and make us serfs on the land that our forefathers fought for. Tom, your thoughts?
Yeah. I've come at this from four directions. One is through business and how they're using business and technology to diminish to control us. Another one is a preacher and how they are they're destroying Christianity. And why? You know, Christianity is the root of the ideas of free enterprise and individual liberty and property rights. And if you need to get rid of those things, then you've got to get rid of the root. And that's one of the directions I go in this. As I mentioned, one of the main characters and one of the ways I go about it is education. We know they're using the federal education system to literally destroy knowledge is what we're really coming down to. And so I have one character who is, you know, becoming aware of how that's being used. And so, and of course, political policy is the fourth line of it. So I go through all four of those, and they all come together in the end and show how they're being used to destroy our culture, to control our way of life, and you know, erase our history.
Wow. You know, it's harder and harder to, in my opinion, determine what's truth and what's fiction, huh?
Yeah, well, they're very good at it. You know, at the way they put these things into words, it sounds so innocent. How many times have I had people, when I try to talk about Agenda 21 and so forth, and say, well, what's wrong with that? We're just trying to protect the environment. We're just trying to make sure that our, you know, our communities are developed properly and that everybody's happy. What's wrong with that?
By the way, if that's all there really was, there's not a whole lot wrong with that.
Yeah.
But that isn't what it is.
Yeah, that's the excuse. That's what they use to sucker us into it, but that's not the reality of it. So just let me say real quick, if people are interested in the book, it is available on Amazon, Erased by Tom DeWeese, and it's also available on my website at AmericanPolicy.org, and you can save $4 if you get it off my website over Amazon.
There you have it. AmericanPolicy.org, ladies and gentlemen. Check it out. You know, you've been at this fight forever, Tom. I mean, as long as I've known you, 20-plus years you've been involved, and you were involved before that.
Yeah.
So were we, but we had some would call it a chance meeting. I would say that it was inspiration by the Almighty that brought us together to focus on liberty together. But I bring this up to say, when you wrote the book, you found things that you're like, wow, this is already happening. But was there anything that really shocked you that you didn't know along the way?
I think what shocked me most was how deeply entrenched it was. You know, I knew a lot of peripheral things. For example, one of the things we came up with on the education front, if the book had a subtitle, it would be "Can Technology Threaten Freedom?" I think that would be a subtitle if I put one in it. And one of the sub stories in it is the use of e-books, Kindle books. And these, you know, they are taking over the publishing industry. We have fewer and fewer outlets for printed books. Now, you know, Hitler and every tyrant in history, when they wanted to change a society, what did they do? They burned the books. You have video of you know, film of Hitler with big, huge book burning bonfires. With Kindle books, with e-books, today, you don't have to burn the books. It's out in the air. All you have to do is press a button and eliminate that book, or eliminate a story, or change a story to take away certain lines, individuality, property rights, things like that can all be eliminated by a press of a button, and you never knew it existed. And that's a main part of the story.
One of the other massive tricks they have is their attitude is we don't even really need to get rid of information. What we need to do is put out so much conflicting information that nobody really knows where to go for the truth. No one really understands what's fact, what's fiction, what's fake, what's reality, what's people are half in reality, half out of reality, and it's very difficult. So subterfuge, if you will, is a lot of their agenda as well. Tom DeWeese with us. We'll talk a little bit more about his book, Erase. You can get it at AmericanPolicy.org or on Amazon. Check it out. Incredible information, folks.
Protecting your liberties. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
With news this hour from LibertyNewsDaily.com, I'm William Grigg. The immense trove of Democratic National Committee emails posted by the WikiLeaks whistleblower site should seed journalistic investigations for years, predicted Julian Assange in an interview with Democracy Now! A number of emails reveal details about the close relationship between the DNC and the media, such as the Washington Post's involvement in a fundraising party with the Democratic leadership. Another email describes how DNC leaders called up MSNBC during the middle of a program and said, "Pull that segment now. That's something we've all suspected happens," Assange continues. "This is concrete proof." You are listening to LibertyNewsDaily.com. In other news, nestled within the nearly 20,000 emails snatched from the Democratic National Committee's computer servers was one describing how political reporters Ken Vogel and Isaac Arnsdorf had submitted a draft of an article to the DNC for approval. The April 29th email from the reporters to DNC National Press Secretary Mark Pasternak contained the subject line, "Per agreement, any thoughts appreciated." On the following day, Pasternak told DNC Communications Director Luis Miranda, quote, "Vogel gave me this story ahead of time, before it goes to his editors, as long as I didn't share it. Let me know if you see anything that's missing, and I'll push back." The story itself was mildly negative in its treatment of Hillary Clinton, as it showed that most of the supposedly joint fundraising she did on behalf of other Democrats actually benefited her own campaign. The fact remains that the authors had a standing agreement of some kind to have their drafts reviewed by the DNC. For the news the networks refuse to use, turn to LibertyNewsDaily.com. For LibertyNewsDaily.com, I'm William Grigg.
Many of you have heard me talk about my Vigor score. You say, "Sam, what on earth is all this Vigor stuff about?" Well, Vigor is defined as zest for life, your strength in body and mind, your energy levels. It's kind of all wrapped into a term called Vigor. Would you like to improve your Vigor score? Well, you got to first take the free test. Get a hold of Kurt, C-U-R-T, at LibertyRoundtable.com or call Kurt Cosby at 801-669-2211. I took the test, got a 13 out of 32. Horrible, huh? But I worked on it with Kurt with some natural help and healing, and before you know it, now I've got an astounding 29 out of 32 on the Vigor score. Can you tell by the way I talk? Oh, yes, my zest for life has never been better. Get a hold of Kurt Cosby. That's 801-669-2211. And take your free Vigor test today, and you can learn where you stand. And then you can work on improving it and take the test again. And, oh, compare the results. You will be delighted. Get a hold of Kurt Cosby. Kurt, C-U-R-T, at LibertyRoundtable.com or 801-669-2211 for your free Vigor score test today.
Begging politicians, bureaucrats, and educrats, and all do-gooders to please obey the supreme law of the land, the Constitution. This is Liberty Roundtable.
Tom DeWeese, AmericanPolicy.org, on your radio, ladies and gentlemen. His new book, Erase, available now, a fiction thriller that's full of facts. I know that sounds strange, but historical fiction gets that done perfectly. Create a fiction in terms of the characters, the people, etc., so that you can place them wherever you need to tell an incredible story. Fascinating to read. You identify with the characters and more, but yet put facts together. Put reality together in terms of the discussion points, the historical context, and more. And pretty soon, voila, you got a historical fiction that'll knock your socks off. It's called Erase. Available now by Tom DeWeese at Amazon.com and at AmericanPolicy.org. You save $4 if you go directly to the website and get it today. Tom, how long of a read are we talking about?
It is about 300 pages.
All right. Flesh out Mac Richards for me.
Mac Richards is the head of an organization called Voice of Adams, referring to Sam Adams and patriots that are fighting all these things and trying to unearth it all. And one of his people is murdered in the middle of it all, and he's on the search for why and who. And it all leads back to this. There is a another character. His name is Harold Riggers. And he is referred to in the book as the graffiti bandit, and he's a major character in here. He's a homeless guy, at least appears to be. So
appears to be.
Yeah.
Pay attention to the phrases, ladies and gentlemen. Now, Kurt Crosby's not even in the book, is he?
I think I had him back in one of the crowd scenes.
That's where I'm best,
in the fact they're pulling strings. I know, Kurt.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, and that's the point that I'm getting at, is that everybody in America should find themselves somewhere in the book, identify with a character, and carry forward to stand for liberty, to stand for America, to stand for unity, to stand for morality, to stand for honor and transparency. That's where we find ourselves now. The description of the book basically says, look, they can find the document to solve all this. Tell me a little bit about the quest.
Well, the document is a report. Some people found what was going on, and they wanted to warn someone about it. And they were going to send this report in, and the bad guys found out about it, and they committed murder and stopped the report from going in. And but it's there, it's buried on the internet, and everybody who finally finds it ends up dead, trying to figure out why.
And that part's really, in essence, true also, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah.
The information is there about the plan to destroy America.
Yeah. And one of the things, I was going back to this technology I was talking about on these e-books and so forth, you now have, I've got three different ways that they're being used in this book. Funny, people keep asking if I'm going to put it out on e-book. We did yesterday. But one of the ways is school textbooks. Now, you can make the argument that having e-books in the hands of every single child, now they can update them. Now they don't have to spend billions of dollars to publish textbooks. They can just, you know, download new stuff into their e-books. But I show how that's being used, and one of the things as we were writing that, as I was going through and kind of creating that part of it, a friend of mine told me they had just talked to a teacher at a Christian school about how they were using e-books for their curriculum, and boom, there it is. We thought we were kind of making it up. Nope, they're using it. So that way, and just regular books, and also. As I was writing it, I was told by a friend of mine who's a political activist that they are now using them in legislatures. And, they tell the legislators, oh, you don't have to come to the committee hearings. You don't have to be in all these things. You can get it all right there in the e-book and have everything you need, testimony, all that kind of stuff. What happens if they don't put it all in there? You don't get the whole picture.
Or what happens if they put the wrong information in there? What happens if they put, let's say that there's a speech that's an hour long, and they put section at 5 minutes and 30 minutes and 47 minutes, and that's it?
There's opposition, and they never mention it. So on bills and stuff. So, yeah. So all these ways that technology is being used, essentially, I don't think I'm giving too much away to say that my villain in the book figured it out. That technology, America's love of technology, is America's downfall.
All right. And the problem with technology is it's neither good nor bad. It all depends on whose hands it's in and who has control of it, right?
Exactly. Exactly. Yes.
All right. The other thing to note, I guess, the old adage, truth is stranger than fiction, you found out is reality right in the book, huh?
I had to hurry and finish it because it was coming on me strong. So, yeah.
Where do you think we go from here? A lot of people are for Donald Trump. A lot of people think that's just phenomenal. I'm not one of them. I personally am supporting the Constitution Party candidates. I know they won't win, but I can at least sleep at night with my moral vote. That is standing for Darrell Castle, president, and Scott Bradley, vice presidential candidates. That's who I'm standing for. I know they won't win, but I can at least have a moral conscience when I sleep. What do you think of the Trump? Everybody just loves Donald, and I'm convinced that he's got some great things that he says. But he's also got some real concerning things that he says and has done. The question is, how much has he really changed, and how much will he listen to those around him? And the list goes on and on. What are your thoughts?
Well, I think that what he does and how he does it will depend a lot on us. If we let him get, like we've done many so many others, we let him get away with it, and they make all these promises and don't fulfill on it, that's our fault because we're not putting pressure on him. And but I know exactly what Hillary Clinton's going to do. There's no question what she's going to do. What's Donald Trump going to do? We're not sure. But I do know that he's come out against these sustainable development programs, particularly the AFFH program with HUD. He's come out against it. So that's the first candidate I've heard do that. And that's my interest. So I really believe. Things are so corrupt that and the Republican Party is so corrupt, it needed a wrecking ball. And, I don't think anybody can say I'm not a dedicated, to-the-core, lifelong conservative and believe in those principles and advocate those principles. We're not getting one of those people elected this time, but maybe we need a wrecking ball and, tear things up and we can start over again. If he only does one thing, if he only secures the border, we're better off than we have been. So that's kind of how I'm
saying. Well, in that sense, taking on the yesteryear media, I'm calling them the clown media now. If you can just disrupt the clowns and let the new media take center stage, that alone is almost enough to make it worth it.
Just one thing. I mean, we know what Hillary's going to do. If Hillary Clinton is elected, I've never been one to accept, you know, lots of people have been saying for years, this is the most important election, and if this happens, we're done and all that, and I've never accepted that. But this time, I'm real close to accepting that. I don't know, after 8 years of Barack Obama, if we can survive a Hillary Clinton election, because Obama set it up, you know, for the perfect slam dunk, the final punch to end everything, and she's, of course, the one to do that. So
we interviewed Ann Coulter last week at the Republican National Convention. Kurt Cosby was there. Ann just rolled out a new little tidbit on Kurt.
Well, yeah, and it's not surprising. Ann's, you know, I think she's full of that kind of stuff. She says that she calls Paul Ryan the next Eric Cantor. Yep, and she says that Ryan is so hated by the base, he's the next Eric Cantor, who was, she says, the highest member leadership ever to lose in a primary. So, you know, all I can say is, man, I hope she's right.
I agree with her. Paul Ryan has absolutely capitulated to Barack Obama in everything. This omnibus spending bill from back in February that they passed, absolutely outrageous. They not only gave him everything he wanted, they gave him more. And again, I refer back to this AFFH thing with HUD. There were, you know, legislators trying to kill that, and he throws out their language and gives HUD more money. And now, then he wants to get up in front of an audience at a Republican National Convention and talk about how we've got to stop Barack Obama and so forth. Give me a break. He had the opportunity, and he didn't do it. They are so terrified that somebody in the media might say, oh, the Republicans are blocking something, that they give him everything they want. I keep asking myself, is Paul Ryan and these guys trying to set up Obama to show how bad he is, so let him have everything he wants, then we can elect a Republican? What? Is this really what's behind their thinking? I can't think of anything else it is.
Well, HUD smacks of communism in and of itself.
Sure, it has no business being there whatsoever. And what is coming up here, this is the interesting thing. You know, we've been warning over Agenda 21 what HUD was about, what these grants were about. Now it's coming out without any smooth smokescreen on it. It's coming right out at us.
Well, there you have it, ladies and gentlemen. The fact that Bernie Sanders is even being discussed seriously is evidence enough. Quick pause. Tom DeWeese with us. His book, Erase, available now on Amazon, AmericanPolicy.org. Back in a flash.
As a parent, is receiving a faith-based, character-focused education for your children difficult to find? Do you believe that godly principles should be a central component in your child's education? Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character. For over 40 years, American Heritage School has been educating both hearts and minds, bringing out academic excellence. This is the school where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. With American Heritage School's Advanced Distance Education Program, distance is no longer an issue. With an accredited LDS-oriented curriculum from kindergarten through 12th grade, your children can attend from anywhere in the world. American Heritage School will prepare your child for more than a job. It will prepare them for life. To learn more, visit American-Heritage.org. That's American-Heritage.org.
Liberty is not free. Its costs are innumerable. Without monetary funding, the valiant efforts of freedom-loving Americans become diminished or outright defeated. We present a solution, the Give Me Liberty Fund. The plan is quite simple. Invite individual Americans to contribute less than a dollar a day. These monetary funds are used to promote liberty-minded media, organizations, events, candidates, movements, and speakers. In the spirit of transparency, all expenditures are published. Patriotic business owners provide discounted products and services to Give Me Liberty Fund members. Our greatest strength is in numbers. Go to GiveMeLibertyFund.com and become part of the solution today. GiveMeLibertyFund.com. participate in the peaceful restoration of the greatest and freest country in the world.
Hello everyone, James Edwards here. Are you sick and tired of liberals and race hustlers and the media calling you a racist just because you oppose Obama's policies? Well, my friend, those days are over. After you read Racism Schmacism, you'll never again fear being called the R word. I invite you to discover why every conservative in America needs a copy of my explosive new book. Racism Schmacism has received much critical acclaim and will equip you with the key to unlock their socio-political nuclear bomb once and for all. Order your copy today by visiting the official website of the Political Cesspool radio program, thepoliticalcesspool.org. Proceeds of each sale go to help keeping our award-winning show on the air, and they make great gifts for your conservative friend or family member. Buy Racism Schmacism today at www.thepoliticalcesspool.org.
With news the networks refuse to use. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
Kirk Crosby, Sam Bushman, Tom DeWeese on your radio, ladies and gentlemen. We're talking about Tom's book, Erase. Incredible book available to Amazon now. It's fiction, but truth is stranger than fiction. It's historical fiction, ladies and gentlemen. Check it out. You can even learn about the interesting character in there, Mac Richards. And see if you find a parallel, ladies and gentlemen. Ann Coulter breaking it up, saying, hey, man, you know what? Paul Ryan's like the next Eric Cantor. He's out. He's gone. He's done. I pray she's right. One thing I will say, Tom DeWeese, is that there's a lot shaking up and a lot's melting down in America. A lot of people believe it's good, and I believe it can be good if the American people are cognizant and step in at the right time to ensure a safe, stable direction. But if we're not careful, this blowing up could actually morph it into a turbo plan for tyranny as well, if we're not very careful.
Well, you're right. It has to be done very carefully. First of all, I'm always the positive one, and I am seeing more and more people stand up, get it, wanting to do something. And for the first time, I'm seeing elected officials contact us and say, "What can I do?" That has not happened very much over the throughout all this. But what frightens me is I hear more and more people say, "Lock and load. We've got no other choice. This is what we have to do." The instant you do that, the roof will crash down on us.
I reject that notion. That's why I always start every program with, we don't need a revolution. We need a restoration of the greatest country in the world. Our founders fought for the principles that can make America great, that has made America the greatest country on the face of the earth. We need to recognize that. We're always looking for a solution, but it's not returning to the roots, which worked. I don't understand why we'd look everywhere, but what worked. I don't
exactly.
Get it. But
exactly.
We don't need a revolution. We need a restoration.
Yeah, it's the Constitution is still all the mechanism is still down there rusting. All we have to do is polish it up and use it. This is why what I work on, how I work mostly. I don't work much with Congress and so forth. I work with local elected officials and state legislators, because I believe that if you can save your freedoms on the local level, that it will move up, and you can save it as a country.
And to prove your point, there's a lot more freedoms and a lot more integrity and morality in a lot of the small towns in rural America. I don't know if you want to say red state America. I'm not that a big fan of the Republicans, but I will say it's almost the smaller and the more local and the community is, the more freedom there is. And it's clear to see in the difference. And when you go to New York, or when I went to Cleveland, Ohio just last week, compared to where I live, it's like night and day, sir.
Absolutely. And how do you, in those kinds of situations, how can you have any hope of making change in these huge mega cities where you can't even find government? And, yet this is where they're marching us into more and more and more mega cities. They want you out of those rural areas because you're a danger to them, because you, as you just said, that you see it differently, you feel it differently, and you have hope. You know you can do something about it. And the bigger the city, the bigger the government, the more involved it is in our lives, then the less we can do something about it. And that's why we need to stop it now, before those things rule everybody's lives.
And I think you can start with states. You can clearly see what states are just going crazy and what states are actually doing decently well. Many of the mountain states are doing decently well, comparatively speaking. Some of the Midwest, or I don't know what you call it, states in the center of the country are doing reasonably decent. But anytime you hit one of the coasts, or anytime you hit a large, large state, California, Texas. Now, I know a lot of people believe Texas is like the bastion of freedom, but I don't think so. You got these massive cities that are destroyed at all. Now, you get in the country in Texas, pretty decent. But you get in those cities are so massive that they literally, one or two cities, you take Houston and Dallas, they almost virtually control the whole state, for instance, when it's crazy. And so, to me, it's finding the states and the counties where there's a bastion of freedom and then fighting locally using coordination. That is your answer, right?
Absolutely. And nullification as well. I had somebody from one of the conservative think tanks write me a note after I wrote an article on this AFFH rule and said, this is prime for nullification. It's illegal. You literally get your state legislators and even your local county governments to stand up and say, no, we are not going to do this. Now, what's happening is that now HUD is getting crazy in filing lawsuits against anyone who stands up and defies them. But this is where nullification could come in. This is where coordination comes in, and you throw these guys out. But you've got to have elected representatives on those local and state levels who have the guts to do that. They are terrified, and they as soon as they threaten a lawsuit, then they capitulate. This is where they got to stand up and say, "Get out of here!" And you know, our favorite sheriff says, then. You know, the sheriff should come in and say, yeah, get out of here. You have no right here, you know, imposing these things on people. You have no authority to do this. But, you know, the whole thing with coordination is before that came along, before people began to understand that, they thought it really meant cooperation. The federal government tells us we have to do this, then we just have to go along with it on a local level. No, you don't. And this is, you know, we've got these tools that are there, and slowly people are beginning to understand them and begin to use them. But, you know, we've let this get so far out of control that it's pretty scary.
You know, people have tried for a long time to document the states and the counties that are actually doing the best. Where do you want to move? Where do you want to go? Where do you want to be? I think there's real value in that and saying, look, we need more patriots to get together in some of these places. And I know a lot of people will say, well, but my home's in Tennessee or my home's in New York or my this and my that. And my response is, ladies and gentlemen, if you want liberty, we're not going to save the whole of America. You're not going to save a city like New York. Okay, it's just too full of liberals. I mean, even in the day when we fought the American Revolution, New York was full of what? Tories, and they weren't for the cause, and they had to be kind of drug along. All I'm telling you is that you've got to stand in places where the stand actually has value, where you have a chance. One of the mistakes we make is thinking that little rural town USA is as bad as big town Thugville. I know it feels that way sometimes when the federal government, when some of these tyrannical state laws reach down into the local communities, but it's not even close to true. And we got to realize that difference and put our efforts where we can make a difference, right?
Yeah, we do. And, I mean, there's a reason why the proponents of all these bad policies call the center of America flyover country. I've actually heard them say, I don't think people in Utah and Montana and even Ohio and places should have the right to vote. They don't know what they're talking about anyway. So the only right to vote should be San Francisco and New York City, flyover country, not to be considered. I mean, when they have an attitude like that, that ought to give you a pretty good hint of what you're up against. But they truly believe that, and what is it? Just listen to the Democratic convention if you can stomach it long enough, and I can't. But this is what they're going to tell you. Basically, they're saying, flyover country. Don't pay attention to those idiots that are trying to fight for their property rights and their dignity and their wallet. that's just rude and racist and selfish.
But don't worry, a woman won an incredible jackpot, Kurt. Tell them about this. This is kind of what America's tied up in while they lose their country.
Well, it's a great point. This lady cruised into a casino, not recommended, in my opinion. Her name is Veronica Castillo. She thought she finally had struck gold after she poured about $100 worth of nickels in that thing. The machine was called Jurassic Riches. Then she won $8 million, that's what it says, but her dreams were dashed when the casino staff told her there had been a malfunction with the slot machine. Instead of the millions, she got $80.35. They came to her and said, we have to shut off the machine. Then I was asking, what about the prize? They said, there's no prize, it was horrible. Yeah.
What do you say, though? What do we do about that? I mean, are they allowed just to do that? See, everything in America is just subject to manipulation. And anything you think is right is just confused. And I'm not saying gambling's right. I'm just saying even when you participate in legalized plunder against your neighbors, they just run around. They're like, nope, none for you, buddy. You're not part of the 1%. And it just goes on and on, Tom.
It does. It does. It's, you know, they just make up things as they go along. They just literally make it up. And you're standing there. You've got knowledge. You've got philosophy. You've got facts and figures. And you're going, what? And by the time you've recovered from that, they've marched on down the road and did it to somebody else. So this is what we're dealing with.
Kurt, what do you say? I'm convinced that local is really almost the only prayer we've got.
Well, and, you know, you could say this reminds me of in the early days of our political efforts. If we were working on a national campaign, they'd say, man, you got to work on local stuff. I mean, you just can't really do anything on national basis. Then we'd work on local stuff, and they'd say, oh, well, you just got to work on national stuff because you can't. At least to me, you've got to work on everything you can. And it's true that, you know, you're just a small part of the whole picture. But you are a part, and you can make a difference. Look at what Tom DeWeese has done.
Amen to that, Tom, my friend. Thank you so much. Promote your book real quick.
It's Erase. It is either on Amazon or on my website at AmericanPolicy.org. And it's a political thriller that will help you understand, I think, much easier what's going on today.
You can get it at Amazon, ladies and gentlemen, or at AmericanPolicy.org. Save $4 at AmericanPolicy.org. Erase, incredible historical fiction that really gets you up to speed on the problem and how to fix it. Thanks, Tom.
Thank you.
AmericanPolicy.org, become part of the solution today. Tom's a monthly guest on Liberty Roundtable, and gratefully so. Does a fantastic job. Let's reject Agenda 2030. And let's stand for God-given property rights. This nation shall endure. LibertyRoundtable.com. Hey, thanks.